Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Welcome to a new week in football, Ramblers. Fenerbahce are crowdfunding for Ozil and Robertson has taken defending to a whole new level. It's Monday, the 25th of January. I'm Jules Breach.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Pete Donaldson.
A very snowy weekend as well. It has been. My God, it was freezing, Jim. Did you manage to get out in the snow?
I did, yeah. I thought about not going out and I thought, well, the weather's slightly different. This is the 2021 equivalent of going on holiday, isn't it? So I thought there's no chance I'm missing out on that. So yeah, just went for a little block. There was some kids throwing snowballs at each other. I was unmolested by snow, which was good. I've aged out of being attacked in the street by children, thankfully. Because it's a risk when you're younger, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You might, if there's some horrible kids around and you're of a certain age, if you're young enough, they will drag you into their hellish mischief. But yeah, I was fine. Yeah, so it was all good. How about yourself?
Yeah, do you know what? I was actually working all weekend. So woke up yesterday and heard that it was meant to be snowing. But you know when you like hear of snow in England, you just think, oh yeah, it'll snow and it won't settle. So no big deal. Not going to be a problem. Yeah. It was actually pretty bad where I live. So yeah, it was quite tricky getting into London because I went to the Brentford-Leicester game yesterday and there were loads of people sort of talking about whether or not the game would go ahead or not. But it did in the end, which was good. But yeah, my God, my toes were absolutely gone. They were gone at the game. But it was fun. And like you say, I think that because of this lockdown and because there's not really been anything going on aside from football, having a bit of snow, Pete, It felt it felt really exciting. Like, everyone was putting these obligatory snow photos on, and normally I'd get a bit annoyed and be like, oh, right, I'm over it now. But actually, it was quite nice because everyone was having a good time.
Yeah, I mean, putting the bins out today, it's clearly gone very, very crunchy. Where I am, the snow laid very, very quickly yesterday morning. And so by the time it got to about midday, it was very snowy. And to be honest, by the time I'd got out for a little walk, a lot of the snowmen had been built and then knocked over. So I was able to just pick the big, massive balls of snow up onto the snowmen and make them again really easily. So really efficient bit of snowman building from me. I would say, Joe, there's a picture of you on Instagram interviewing, I can't remember which manager
Thomas
it was.
Frank.
But yes, it would have been, yes. And you're the other side of the advertising hoarding, and he's like a good few metres away. And he's being interviewed by by you, but they've got like a remote microphone on a stand.
Yeah.
Does it sound a bit mad that you're having to shout for him to hear what you're saying on the telly?
Sounds
like you're shouting. Yeah. Truly.
Do you know what? True story is that pre-match, we do the interviews pre-recorded because we do them before the channel are actually on air. And so I don't have an earpiece in. So honestly, Brendan Rodgers, lovely Brendy, he has quite a softly spoken voice. Genuinely, I could barely hear him. I was like breaking my neck to get over the advertising boarding just to hear what he was actually saying. But then when we do the post-match interviews, they go live into the show. So I've got an earpiece in so I can actually hear them back into my earpiece.
Right,
I don't know how well they can hear me. I mean, they seem to answer the questions, Pete. So I think they could hear me.
They're just on autopilot, Jules.
yeah, that is true.
Also, you ate at the ground. I'm just basically going into Jules' Instagram of the weekend. But the sausage rolls. You'd bought a sausage roll and it was in like a cardboard bag, a paper bag, and it said homemade sausage roll. Now, yeah. I'm getting a little bit tired of this homemade nonsense because it would have been made in a factory or made in the ground itself. I'm not buying it, Jules.
Yeah,
I'm not buying the fact that
it's homemade nowadays.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm not having it. It should be like the Champagne region. It's nonsense.
Yeah.
It was cute, though.
Well, that's something, isn't it? That's what they're trying to do, though, isn't it? That's what they're trying to make it sort of all homespun and charming. But actually, it's corporate greed.
It was the little Brentford sticker with a B on it that I thought was actually cute, not necessarily the homemade sausage roll bit, Jim.
Pete, can I rewind to the snowman thing? Did you say that you've been going around rebuilding snowmen in your area? Like a snowman
the million,
ambulance.
Million dollar man. Yeah, like a snowman ambulance. Yeah, exactly. It's like when they rebuild the policeman into Robocop to make him a perfect policeman.
Well, there was a lot of football across the weekend, despite some of the treacherous, I love that word, treacherous conditions. And the weekend sort of ended because there was another game last night, Everton beating Sheffield Wednesday. That was the last FA Cup fourth round game of the weekend. But the one before that, Man United against Liverpool, was a brilliant cup tie. Such a great game. United coming out the winners, beating Liverpool by 3-2. Right, well, United, Jim, they just seem to keep on going, don't they? They've been really good lately. And I think going into the cup tie, everyone kind of thought, would this be Liverpool's chance to sort of get their season back on track after the little slump they've been on? But it wasn't.
Yeah, absolutely not. I mean, we spoke about this before the league game, that if Man United could sort of claim a win over Liverpool, what does that do to the psychology of the league? And I think actually, despite this being a cup competition, I think this does strike a blow against Liverpool. I think this kind of announces Man United as being serious about this season. You know, they look like they're a team that are on the up and have confidence again and can put a run together and might actually challenge for things. And I also think that both these teams owed us this game after last weekend. We all watched it. So much hype. And it was terrible, frankly. And then it looked like it might happen again. The BBC got the sea shanty guys together to do a little package. And it's like, oh, is this going to be terrible again? But it was brilliant. It was like last week was a sort of dress rehearsal and it was a bit rubbish. But this week was great. I'm so impressed, by the way, that Mason Greenwood took the ball in his stride for that second goal. And Pogba was excellent again. And that Fernandes free kick was just lovely. And it was that... it was what that fixture should be. You know, so often this game doesn't quite live up to the hype, but yesterday was a very, very different story. And I was impressed by Man United. You can't, you know, you can't really deny their momentum, can you? And it's interesting to see what happens next time they do have a little bit of a wobble and if they can come out of it quite quickly.
Yeah, I think Liverpool just really struggled to deal with Man United's pace, to deal with the counter-attack. And it got so tricky for Liverpool defensively that Robertson, who, to be fair to Liverpool defensively, he's been one of their better defenders this season, maybe not reaching the heights that he usually is at, but he took his defending to a whole new level. I don't know if you noticed this, but when Greenwood was through on goal, when he went to score, Robertson could clearly see that he was going to get away from him. So rather than actually sticking a foot in or trying to tackle him or getting one of his other teammates to help him out, he just screamed in his face. It was I would have loved to have heard yeah. that like properly, because it just looked like Greenwood was running past him and he just went,
I love it.
Well, he wasn't like the defending. He wasn't the attending. The attending defender, new on HBO. I don't think it was the attending defender. So it wasn't really his man. I didn't think. And then obviously it was just like last chance saloon. I might scream something to put him off. I've called it the Wilhelmsdale scream. Wilhelmsdale being a part of Scotland. I've compiled a list of things that I think he was shouting.
Oh, go on.
Tax doesn't have to be taxing. One quarter of all your bones are found in your feet. Children of identical twins are genetically siblings, not cousins. And Psycho was the first American film to feature a toilet. Could have been any of those things, because they're all disturbing facts. And they
hang on a minute.
Go back to the twins thing.
Yeah, the siblings one. Go on. What? Mm.
Children of identical twins are genetically siblings, not cousins.
That's amazing, because my dad's a twin, isn't he? My dad's brother, Uncle Dad, is is the identical twin of my dad. That means all of my cousins
are your dad
siblings.
Looks like my dad, Jim. So in many ways, are we genetically siblings?
What a twist that would be.
Well,
I know, right?
This has gone to a whole new level. This is like, what's that program where you find your ancestors?
Would I Lie to You? Where we learn that Danny Dyer is like a king. Which
and
Ant
and Dec
anyway,
discovered they were related somewhere along the line.
Yeah.
So,
Jim, you and Pete could be distantly related.
If looking similar is the same as them being related.
Look, Jim, that puts our little evening in Johannesburg 2012 into a whole new dimension,
yeah,
sunshine.
Oh, no. I do like the kind of... the desperation of Andy Robertson screaming in that situation. I'm sure there's more to it, and it wasn't as straightforward as that. But I love
Babadook.
A little bit of
slow. He was definitely calling for a teammate, wasn't he? That's what he was doing.
Yeah, but Marcus is very, very good at FIFA. Anything that he does to put me off while he's like taking it around four of my players is he will hum the theme tune to Match of the Day, which is just gets in your head so much. And I hope footballers do that. And I hope Andy Robertson was just screaming in that situation.
I would love that. I would love if that was the case. But yeah, you mentioned it already, Jim. Bruno Fernandes came on. The free kick was sublime. He's just so good, isn't he? And the fact that United were able to start the game without him, but they have the ability, Pete, to bring a player like Bruno Fernandes on that can come on and completely change the game and just ensure that United get the win and progress to the next round of the FA Cup, just shows that they've got a little bit of depth in that squad as well, doesn't it, Pete?
Oh, it's so good that the laws of the game allow it, Jules. It's so great. So the substitution rule has revolutionised how Man United play. But yeah, it was an obscenely awesome free kick. I like the fact that... I like the fact that Solskjaer is obviously having to talk a lot about the other signings that he's brought to the club, and how Donny van de Beek is not very happy sitting on the bench, or rather he's driven. He might be driving out of Manchester United sooner rather than later. But yeah, I mean, Fernandes, when you've got a player like that to come in and give your team a different dimension, obviously Fernandes would usually be starting. But yeah, I mean, what I would say is don't put Thiago 5'8", 5'9", what is he? On that corner of the of the goal. He's hardly an imposing footballer in that respect. I kind of felt sorry for him a little bit because he's getting some pelters about ducking. But, you know, nobody wants a ball in the face, guys. Nobody wants it.
No, no one wants that. I felt a bit sorry as well for Reece Williams, talking about feeling sorry for people, because I think people were a bit unkind to him on Twitter after the game. But we forget, like, he's such a young guy. He probably was never expecting to have been relied on this heavily for Liverpool this season. And I just think that just football fans, they can be pretty nasty, can't they, at times? And speaking about Twitter, bizarrely, Klopp out was trending after the game and was still trending this morning when I woke up, because I thought, did I actually dream that? And I looked this morning and Klopp out is actually trending on Twitter. Now, I did skim through quite a few of the tweets, and a lot of Liverpool fans were pointing out that the people that are tweeting Klopp out aren't Liverpool fans. So I don't know whether this is like a wind up from other fans saying Klopp out. But I was just a little bit like, why is that trending? Also trending was custard. And I wondered why. So I flicked through the custard trending and I couldn't actually find why custard was trending. And I don't really know what constitutes something as being trending. How many tweets do you need to put out for something to be trending, Jim?
It's one man shouting, gunge me in custard.
Maybe that's what Andy Robertson was shouting.
Custard!
Yeah, I don't know. It actually shows you next to it now, doesn't it, how many tweets there are. But pretty much everything that's tweeting on Twitter now is just people going, why is custard trending? I can't find why it's trending. And I think that is that's a real kind of indication of what Twitter has done to the actual world, isn't it?
Yeah, but then, like, how did it become trending in the first place?
No idea.
Oh, yeah, it annoyed me. I was like, I want to know, has something happened to custard? I got worried that there was, like, no custard left or something.
The EU custard mountain is no more.
Yeah, we're using custard instead of petrol now.
Do you remember when David Moyes had to isolate and they asked him what what was the thing he wanted the most in his food shop? When he had to order it online, and he said custard, I really like custard.
Yeah, bless him.
I just pictured David Moyes sat there with a bowl of custard every night, like just watching the football.
Definitely, definitely hot. You know he had it hot. 100%
hot.
Yes.
Although, actually, I pictured David Moyes with cold custard for some reason.
He looks like a man who's sort of been brought up, you know, that kind of famous panini sticker that someone photoshopped to make him look like the death of the world. And he looks like a man who's been raised on custard. He's had no nutrients at all.
I feel sorry for him because so many people think that picture is real as well.
I know.
Even though he looks like a plague victim.
It's a glop. If anything, what he looks like now is a glop.
Well, keep eating your custard, David Moyes. It's doing well for your team, certainly. And Man United, congrats to them. They're through to the fifth round of the FA Cup, beating Liverpool, as are Manchester City, who managed to get past League Two Cheltenham, beating them by 3-1. At one stage, it looked as though the upset was on, Jim, but it wasn't meant to be, was it?
Oh,
what a shame.
Absolutely gutting, wasn't it? Kind of.
Yeah.
Because it was quite, you know, it was deep into the second half that Cheltenham got their goal. So you're thinking, this could be on here. This could be happened. City looked a little bit kind of rattled by it. They looked a little bit sluggish and like they hadn't quite got out of, you know, first gear. But obviously they rallied because Phil Foden's just so bloody good, isn't he? Like just he's having a really, really good season. That's like, you know, we're not alone in praising him, but he's one of those players that like... You tune in specifically to watch him, you know, like if City are playing, he's become the guy that I'm excited about on the pitch because he's just got so much to his game and we really see it develop now that he's got game time. And I just love how positive he is as well. He's always trying to make stuff happen. He's really, really good. I enjoy Pep getting a bit annoyed about the ball being towed off as well.
Yeah. Pep getting annoyed is just great telly though, isn't it, Pete?
It really, really is. I mean, I'd be more upset with the fact that nobody followed Alfie May into the box for their goal, yeah, to be quite frank. I mean, that was more of a crime. And I was so happy for him to put it away, because he had a shot a little earlier on at the near post, and he was so unhappy it didn't go in. It was like the end of his world. So I'm glad he got his goal. And They were great at times. You know, Ben Tozer's header off the line. Obviously, you're always going to be under the cosh. You're always going to be under pressure against a Man City side, especially when, you know, they played some very, very good players against Cheltenham. But, Mendy smashing home the ball as hard as he could. And Ben Tozer, wow, he's going to be feeling that for the next few days, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. I mean, it was his throw-in as well, wasn't it? And he is, you know, clearly he's one of those players that's got that, you know, kind of Rory Delap style long throw. And I'm always amazed that, like, that more players don't do that, because Gabriel Jesus spoke about it after the game as well. So clearly it rattled City a bit, and it was something they had to think about and had thought about before the game. But like, surely it's a coachable thing. If you've got a couple of players in your team that are coached to do those long throws, doesn't it just give you extra set pieces effectively? And surely in certain types of game, that's useful for anyone.
Yeah, but I mean, does the ball travel quickly enough? Does the ball travel quickly enough? It's a bit too loopy, a bit too slow. And if you're a decent centre back, you're probably going to clear it, aren't you?
I don't know. I'm not a football manager. I just wondered.
I know what you mean. I know what you mean, Pete. But it's a fair point from Jim, because I mean, if you can get the ball into the box from there and you get enough bodies in the box, you never know what's going to happen. And just one little nick from a defender going the wrong way, or you know, them getting possession in the right area, it does cause a lot of trouble. And I was actually thinking exactly the same thing about long throw-ins yesterday when I was at the Brentford game, because they clearly did their homework on Leicester and knew that Leicester could be a little bit sloppy from set pieces. And so whenever the ball went out anywhere around that sort of area, they were taking long throw-ins, and it was causing Leicester quite a few issues. In the end, Leicester actually went on to win the game 3-1. But Brentford did put in a decent shift, and the long throw-ins were definitely something tricky for them to deal with. Because as you say, Jim, you don't really see it in the Premier League that much.
No, and it worked really well for Stoke when they did it. Maybe it's just that to actually do it in the way that Delap did it, or the players that do it so well, it is really hard. maybe it's not as coachable as it seems.
Yeah, actually, it must be quite... Actually, I hadn't even really thought of that, how hard it must be to throw the ball that far, because I'm really shit at throwing, I'm not going to lie. Whenever I play with Pablo in the park and I've got to throw the ball, honestly, a couple of times throwing a little ball for my tiny dog, and I'm knackered. So to be fair, maybe that's why, Pete.
Yeah, I tell you, Rory Delap's dog must have got a workout. Jesus.
He's lost so many dogs, they never came back.
Got to get greyhounds.
City have been brilliant defensively, and it is surprising that it took a League Two team to actually score against them, because that was the first goal they conceded in over 500 minutes of football. And Ruben Diaz has been an amazing addition to the City squad this season, and he absolutely loves defending, this geezer. He did an interview on Friday. I don't know if anyone saw the quotes from this, but he said, "It gives me pleasure to make the other team feel powerless."
Yes.
An animal.
God, I'm horny on men for Diaz. Wow.
You want a bastard in the middle of your defence, don't you? You see what you
cook
need.
Daddy. It gives me pleasure to make you powerless. Whoa.
Yeah.
Ruben.
Bit kinky, isn't it?
Stop it.
Scott Carson at Manchester City, they're trying to negotiate a new contract for him after Pep Guardiola said that he was so important to the team and their captain behind the scenes. I found that quite interesting, Jim.
Yeah, what a gig for Scott Carson.
Isn't it?
That's amazing. He's gone in there knowing he's barely going to play, if at all, and he's made a position for himself. That's brilliant. Excellent, excellent work. I mean, you know, he's got a lot of experience, and, you know, it's easy to sort of joke about this sort of thing, isn't it? But Micah Richards was apparently given a new contract at Villa, even though he's like injured a lot, purely because he was apparently so good in the dressing room. You know, obviously Granit Xhaka gets a lot of stick for various reasons, but apparently he's a real leader in the dressing room as well. And those things, it can't be, you know, overplayed how important it is to squad harmony. If that starts to drop, then maybe you've got a problem. And obviously, Pep Guardiola loves to think about the margins and the fine details, doesn't he? So I'm sure that's part of it, he's thinking as well.
He loves players with stubble as well, because he's got quite a lot of stubble himself, old Pep. So yeah, I think that's got something to do with it as well. A man who can grow a moustache in an hour.
Yeah.
Well, it's a good look, I think. I enjoy a bit of stubble. So there we go. Right, well, those are just two of the FA Cup games from the weekend. More to talk about after the break. But before we do that, some brand spanking new content for you guys over on our Patreon.
Yes, last Friday saw the very first Ramble live stream, a Q&A with Marcus, Luke and Vish, just for our Patreon subscribers. We're going to be bringing plenty more of those every fortnight. Plus, Marcus and Andy brought out a brand new show today called The Teams of Our Lives. Each episode looks at a different era-defining team who absolutely kicked ass back in the day. First up, you'll be pleasantly surprised to hear, is not Wimbledon's 89 side or Fulham in 2010, but Arrigo Sacchi's Milan. Get over to patreon.com/footballramble to see what it's all about.
Nice one. We'll see you guys after the break when we bring you some more of the best stories from the weekend.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
This week at Sukarnov.
On Wrestle Me this week, we talked about the worst way to accept a Hall of Fame award.
They were just telling you suck it.
You suck, and then he pours milk over
his head.
What is this?
Pouring milk over yourself is absolutely something that if you did it once in any scenario, people would never forget it. We were just having Christmas dinner and he just poured 2 litres of milk over himself.
Or if you're more in the mood for some awkward anecdotes, Alex shared his experience with the cast of Event Horizon on this week's Clash of the Titles.
We meet Smitty, played by Sean Pertwee, a man who I bumped into in a bar having never interviewed, and literally chewed his ear off, trapped him in a corner of a booth where he couldn't actually stand up and get away from me, and talked to him incessantly about this film. Later on in the night, his wife said to me, "Sean's outside if you want to carry on talking to him about Event Horizon."
All that and more. At Sukarnov.
Always believe in your soul.
That's it. Yeah, you're right, getting up there.
You got the power to know. Indestructible. Always believe it. Carlton Cole.
What? Is that actually... Was that Carlton Cole singing about himself?
Yeah, I believe so.
Certainly
that's amazing.
Was.
That's brilliant.
It's very
welcome
sort
back
of
to the football
strained.
It's really an impression of singing, isn't it? It's not actual singing.
Yeah. It's like singing. It's when my sister used to listen to Nirvana in her bedroom, she had this really weird quirk of sort of singing along, but she used to sing like this, "With the lights out, it's less dangerous." It just reminds me of that, really. It's horrible.
It's terrifying. all right, before we move on and talk about some more of the stories from the weekend, let's get a Betway 4 to score up. Remember, entry to Betway's 4 to score is free. Each week, we pick the first goal scorer in Betway's 4 selected matches for your chance to win the weekly 50 grand jackpot. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game and further terms and conditions apply. So the first match this week was Aston Villa against Newcastle, which we'll talk more about in a moment. Kate Pitt, Ollie Watkins and Kate Mason was correct. Bang on, Kate. Lovely stuff. The second game was Brentford against Leicester. Andy picked Marcus Forth, who came in for Ivan Toney up top. Ivan Toney was suspended. It was a good shout from Andy, but unfortunately, it was actually Mads Beck Sorensen, the Dane, who got the opening goal for Brentford. The third match was Fulham against Burnley. Pete, you picked Matty Vidra. The result was Jay Rodriguez, who scored his
first... He had it in the net, but he got chalked off for offside. I was furious.
Nearly, mate. Jay Rodriguez, who scored his first two goals of the season in Burnley's win. And the Man United-Liverpool game was pick number 4, and Luke went for Marcus Rashford to get the opening goal. But it was actually Mo Salah who got the first goal of the game. And by the way, we haven't talked about... Mo Salah's two goals yesterday. They were brilliant finishes, weren't they? So good. Yeah. But we weren't correct, unfortunately. Better luck next time. We'll be back with another round of Betway's 4 to score on the preview show this Friday. And now it's time for this.
Just email show at footballramble.com. Right now, so
got an email from Billy Francis. I cannot lie. He's been in touch about the Jacksonville Jaguars, who we mentioned on Friday for their in-stadium pool. They also have a dog park, apparently, where owners can leave their dogs while they watch the game. The only thing is you have to apply to a lottery to get your dog a place, but the dogs also have a pool, which is pretty meta. Cheers.
Wow.
Would you put Pablo in the pool dog lottery?
Absolutely,
for the dog park?
I would. Oh, that is so good. You know why? Yeah. Because my little Pablo does actually go to daycare, which I know sounds
doggy
ridiculous.
Doggy daycare.
And he gets picked up, right? This van comes to pick him up and they've got all the little crates in the back of the van with heated blankets. And he just goes off, gets into his little doggy van. It looks a bit like, you know, the Scooby bus.
Right,
Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
What
but
called?
Like the mystery machine or something, isn't it?
That's it, the mystery machine.
Yeah. Right.
It looks a bit like that. But anyway, so he gets in the back of the van with all the other little doggies and he goes off, he plays with all his friends for the day and he comes back and he's absolutely shattered and it's so good because then he just naps all evening and we can have a little bit of peace and quiet, which is nice. But it's so handy when you've got work to be able to send him off. So yeah, if I'm going to the football and I want to bring Pablo along but keep him occupied for a couple of hours, I'd definitely take him to this. This sounds amazing.
Yeah, well, doesn't Lorraine Kelly also use the same service? Doesn't your dog hang out with Lorraine Kelly's dog? That's amazing.
Lorraine's dog. What did
you
say,
Jim? The character who plays Lorraine Kelly.
Yeah, that one. But apparently, Lorraine's little dog, Angus, he's called, goes to the same daycare as my little Pablo. So he's got a little celebrity friend, which I think is cute.
There's your deep state. There's your deep state, people. That's what's going on. I've seen quite a lot of the Jacksonville Jaguar stadium because this year AEW did a wrestling show and they just basically inhabited the entirety of the Jacksonville Jaguar stadium and just did wrestling all around it. So there was a bit where Matt Jackson moonsaulted off the crossbar and they tried to drown. Remember the Hardy Boys from back in like the noughties, the wrestlers?
Yeah.
They drowned Matt Hardy in the same pool we're talking about. And every time he came up for air, he'd morphed into a different kind of Matt Hardy, a different character. I cannot sell this enough, guys. Wrestling is excellent. You may think football's good, but wrestling to me is a new love and it's great. Listen to Wrestle Me. Jim, you got anything to sell? Were you like old adverts?
Yeah, why not? Why not?
Yeah,
find
all right,
on YouTube.
Cool. Jules, telly? You do a bit of telly, don't you?
Yeah.
Watch some telly with Jules.
Do you have any other projects on the go, Jules, other than the Ramble?
Well, I used to do a bit of telly shopping, so yeah.
Oh, lovely.
Sorry, really? I mean shopping telly. I got it the wrong way around. A bit of shopping telly. Yeah.
What's the best thing that you sold?
My first ever TV presenting job was on a shopping channel called, it was called Speed Auction TV. And the idea was that you had to buy them, like you had to buy the items really quickly. You're up against the clock. But it was the same company as Price Drop TV and Bid TV. And I worked for them for about 5 years. They were my first presenting gigs. Honestly, it was such a laugh. It was a bit mental. Like some of the stuff we had to sell. I remember we had a gardening section. And so when you went to go and sell the products, you'd get these sort of briefs of each of the items that would have all the details of the product so you knew everything about what you were about to sell. And the first item in this gardening section was blood, soil and bones. And I was like,
wow,
what?
Sounds like an alt-right
and I
website.
Thought, what on earth is this? But it was like, what's it called? Fertilizer for the soil. Yeah.
Yeah, bones are really good for that, isn't it? Yeah. Horrible.
Well, that's probably the weirdest thing I've had to sell. That, or just some of the jewellery was absolute shite. I'm not going to lie. Like some of it was so bad. And you'd have to I'd have to wear a necklace around my neck and be like, look how beautiful this is. And it's like the worst thing you've ever seen. Yeah, it was quite fun, actually. It was a very fun job.
Apparently, if her body is discovered out in like a forest or something, and it's decomposed, because the body is so rich in nutrients, flowers grow, like beautiful flowers grow, and that's why I'm not on QVC, because that's what I would say.
Yeah. Pete, I love that you know that. That was always going to come from you. Amazing. Right, get your emails into us, show@footballramble.com. Maybe you've had a weirder job than me selling blood, soil and bones on the telly.
I've never seen a dead
get
body.
Get your emails into us.
Email us.
Right, just a couple of other matches to touch on from the weekend. Another one of the FA Cup games, mainly because I want to get Jim's take on Arsenal, the holders. They're out of the FA Cup. Southampton beat them. It wasn't the best game, I'm not going to lie. But just to touch on Arsenal and the fact that Ozil has now moved, he's left the club, he's gone to Fenerbahce. I know we've talked about it a lot on Ramble lately, but a story to come out of the weekend is that his wages, Jim, are apparently being crowdfunded. What on earth is going on here? The Fenerbahce president has asked for fans to donate money via text messages in order to cover Ozil's wages. What the fuck?
Yeah. It's absolutely mad. I wonder if they told him they were going to do that beforehand, because it doesn't look great, does it? I imagine he's probably thinking, sorry, you're doing what? I've got this reputation because of the size of my contract, which I didn't give myself, and now this is happening. God. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of pressure on him as well, isn't it? I mean, imagine if you are quite literally paying a player's wages and they're not performing. You're going to be a bit annoyed about that. But it's a ridiculous thing for Fenerbahce to do, really. And it sets a dangerous precedent as well, doesn't it? Because if it works, maybe other teams will start doing it. But I can't imagine this is going to work, because it's just so absurd. But yeah, he's not my problem anymore, so that's fine.
Pete, who's the one player you'd like to have at Newcastle who you'd like Mike Ashley to do some crowdfunding for?
I've spoken about Lauren Aubert's Instagram so much. I just think the man needs the money, because he should come back as a coach. Forget David Ginola, who offered his services a few weeks ago. Get Lauren Aubert back. Get his champagne fridge stocked with some of the finest crystal, and let's get going, shall we? And just have some blooming dead ball training with him.
Jim, are you bothered at all about going out of the FA Cup? Is it more a mental damage on the season going forward more than anything?
Yeah, I am, because I think it's always important to sort of try and get cup runs together, because even if you are sort of languishing in mid-table as Arsenal are, it gives some momentum to your season potentially. So obviously a lot of people say, well, it's good because you don't have so many games, but I never really subscribe to that. So you got to congratulate Southampton on a giant killing, I suppose. We needed one this weekend. and another foul throw as well from Arsenal. I don't know if everyone saw that. Cedric this time.
Good.
Another one.
Ward-Prowse tried to score from a corner. He was so bored. He's so bored with free kicks. He's just whipping in corners now. Yeah. Fantastic.
Seems the sort of thing you could probably make, you know, you could make happen to Arsenal, isn't it? Them conceding from a corner. But actually, I mean, I have been saying in recent weeks that obviously Arsenal have been a lot better, and defensively they've been a lot more together. I wondered what would happen when they conceded first, and I guess the answer was not a huge amount. But the squad rotation is an issue, because the players that are coming in, and they're senior players as well, they are players like Pepe and Willian, they're just not really... I keep saying it, but they're not really affecting games so much. I mean, Pepe's stats are actually not so bad this season compared to what perhaps maybe the sight test would tell you. But Willian, as we know, has gone off like supermarket raspberries. Like, they were fine in the shop in Chelsea, but now they just fuzz all over them. And yeah, again, I think it's just a case of Arsenal's squad depth being... about consistent with a team that you would expect to be a mid-table, really, and it's a thing that's going to take a long time to fix, I think.
Yeah. Well, there weren't really any upsets this weekend. I know you joke about it, Jim, but I expected Southampton to beat Arsenal. But maybe it's to come. Maybe it's to come, because we've still got Spurs against Wickham in the Championship. They're bottom of the Championship to come tonight, plus Bournemouth against Crawley, who of course beat Premier League Leeds in their last game. Crawley did. So yeah, got more FA Cup to look forward to this week. But there was a random Premier League game thrown in there, Pete. Aston Villa beating your Newcastle by 2-0. Villa dominated, really. They looked pretty solid in the game, and Newcastle looked devastated at full time. as if a defeat without scoring hadn't been inevitable.
Yeah, it's like they hadn't watched the rest of the match. The thing about like Newcastle sort of they set up in a weird way, because they sit in and they defend hard when they're playing someone better than them, and the plan is presumably to go out and attack when you're not. When you're playing someone who you're better than. But when you're heading into the relegation places, everyone is empirically and numerically better than you. So therefore, you don't really know what to do. You don't really have a midfield. It's just a very, very confusing time. Steve Bruce, he's been spared from the bedsheet brigade. He's been spared from the booing and the hissing from St. James's Park. But maybe the players need a little bit as well, because they're just not performing to any kind of level. I am putting it squarely at the feet of Steve Bruce, but Christ, our pass completion is just devastatingly bad. It's awful. We're heading down. Mike Ashley, once again, is in the situation where he needs to make a decision, like he didn't with Joe Kinnear, etc., back in 2009 and 2016, to be honest. And yeah, Newcastle could be a championship club by this time next season, or even earlier, as time goes.
Well, Jamie Carragher was pretty harsh in his assessment of Newcastle. He said, they've become a nothing club. They're just boring. As simple as that. And where are they left in the table? 19 points, just 7 points above the bottom three. I think they've well and truly been dragged into it. So, yeah, very,
Leeds tomorrow.
Very difficult times for Newcastle. Right, let's talk about some other stuff, because this is big news from the weekend. I know there's been a lot of pressure that's been building on Frank Lampard at Chelsea, and despite their win in the FA Cup over Luton, there are rumours that Frank Lampard is set to be sacked today. Now, this has been reported by Matt Law in The Telegraph. Apparently, the Chelsea players have been told to report to training, but only this afternoon and not this morning. So this has got everyone led to believe that potentially there could be a decision that might be made this morning, Jim. What do you make of this?
I'm not surprised, to be honest. I think once you start hearing rumours of a Chelsea manager perhaps losing the trust of Abramovich and the higher-ups, then a sacking tends to follow, doesn't it? I don't think we're likely to see an Ole Gunnar Solskjaer situation where they do stick with him over time. And I think it's a real shame because I understand why Lampard took the job when it was offered to him. I think he had to, really. I think he had to back himself and kind of see how it would go. And they seem to really want him. But I wonder if it will really sort of hinder his management career now that he's perhaps had a job that's probably a little bit too big for him a little bit too soon. It looks like it's going to be Thomas Tuchel coming in, I would imagine. Because, and I say that because there's a lot of talk of people saying that they want a German-speaking manager to come in and get the best out of Werner and Havertz, and Tuchel would obviously be the...
Do you buy that, though? Like, why do they need a German-speaking manager to get the best out of them?
Well, I mean, perhaps it is a bit oversimple, actually. I don't know, but... I don't know. It just seems to add up, doesn't it? Because they've outlaid so much on those two players, and they're both fairly young as well. So you know, Chelsea would want to be getting the prime of those players' careers at the club. So I don't know. I mean, it's hard to second guess Chelsea, isn't it? Because they don't always do things that seem logical or that may seem a little bit knee jerk and a bit reactive. But generally speaking, it does kind of work for them, doesn't it? They do win stuff, and they go through these periods of they're either winning something or they're in a crisis because they're not winning. That's the standards that they expect, really. So I wouldn't be surprised to see that happen. But yeah, I just really feel for Frank Lampard. I wonder what he'll do next. And what sort of profile of job he'll take, because it's a really important one.
Yeah, Pete, it's an interesting situation, isn't it? At the time of recording this, there is no official news on this, just to say, but it is being reported both in The Telegraph, and Rafa Honigstein has just written it in The Athletic as well this morning, and reporting the same thing, that Thomas Tuchel is being touted to replace Lampard. Although, Pete, Rafa Benitez quit his job in China at the weekend, so he could potentially be on his way back to the Premier League.
He is a Chelsea legend.
He is a Chelsea interim legend, and, you know, he had a great rapport with Didi Haman. So, look, this all fits together.
Yeah, it's fascinating to see what's going to happen with the managers. Of course, we will bring you our opinions on that if and when a decision is made at Chelsea and wherever Rafa Benitez decides to go. But there's definitely something in the water, because Rafa's certainly on his way somewhere to quit such a lucrative deal. Was he on like 12 million or something, Pete?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he made it very clear that he couldn't even be bothered to like spaff out the usual platitudes that footballers go when they go to China. And he's just like, yeah, I mean, this is a lot of money. But I am dedicated to football, not necessarily this football, but I am getting a heck of a lot of money for this.
Yeah. I love it. It's essentially like, come on, what would you do? You've got to say yes.
Sorry, dog's 100%. Just climbing on me. Hello, dog.
Oh, who is it? Is it Buckley or Lola?
It's Buckley, the older dog. The older dog.
Oh, yeah. Buckley. Yeah. We should get Buckley, Lola and Pablo to meet one day. They'll love each other.
Yes, doggy daycare with Donaldson. Come on.
I'll get Lorraine to bring her dog as well. I'll get Angus along.
Lovely.
Lovely stuff, boys. Before we go, just something else to tell you about. You've got some nice new content in Football Ramble Presents, and it's on today's Ramble Meet. If you want a little insight into Tottenham's opponents this evening in the FA Cup, look no further, because we have got Gareth Ainsworth, the Wickham Wanderers manager. I think he won everyone's hearts last year, him and the Wickham team, when they got promoted from League One into the Championship for the first time ever in their history. And our lovely Mark Pugach is chatting to him all about his unique career at the club and why he can't wait to share the touchline with Jose Mourinho tonight. So that is it's not the final one. There's one more FA Cup fourth round tie to come, Bournemouth Crawley on Tuesday. But tonight it's Tottenham against Wickham. And tomorrow you have the pleasure of Kate Mason, who, if Tottenham are on the end of a cup upset, I'd love to hear her thoughts on that. So Kate, Luke and Andy will be here tomorrow for another Football Ramble. Jim, lovely to see you as always. Say bye-bye.
Goodbye, and lovely to see you too.
And Pete, bye-bye from you and Buckley, who's doing weird things, I hear.
Yeah, he was licking his own penis, Jules, while you were doing that talk about the Ramble Meet. So I'd like to make it very clear, that was dog doing it, not Dom. Bye-bye.
Good God. On that note, let's go. Bye. Yeah.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.